friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. World heavyweight boxing champion Anthony Joshua will defend 4 title belts Saturday night when he fights Russia's Alexander Povetkin at Wembley Stadium in London. It's a matchup of former Olympic champions. Joshua won a gold medal for Britain at the 2012 Olympics in London, and Povetkin was a gold medalist for Russia at the 2004 Olympics in Athens. The 28-year-old Joshua is returning to Wembley for the first time since his victory over Vladimir Klitschko in front of 90,000 fans in April 2017. Another big Wembley crowd is expected on Saturday, and Joshua says the fight fans will see a very tough and competitive bout.
Klitschko, good challenger. We came, had a lot of respect for each other, got a good fight together, and we performed. And the sport of boxing won that night because we put on a good show. We've been away for a while. We're back now with Alexander Povetkin, and I'm expecting the same type of fight because skills apart, technique apart, I think we've both got a big heart and we can dig deep. So that always turns up for a good fight. We both showed it against Klitschko. We both dug deep, stayed in there. And we're going to do the same again Saturday night. Put our skills on the line. And I think the one who's toughest will come out victorious.
We heard Anthony Joshua say, "We both showed that against Klitschko." Povetkin also fought Vladimir Klitschko, losing a 12-round unanimous decision 5 years ago in Moscow. It's the only loss of Povetkin's prize-fighting career. He has 34 wins. At the pre-fight news conference in London, Povetkin spoke in Russian. Translating one of his comments, he said, "When I fought Klitschko, I was much weaker and in much worse shape than I am now." At that same news conference, Anthony Joshua was asked about a potential fight with WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder of the United States.
"You know, man, I'm not one to kind of talk about too much fights and so on and so forth, but there was a lot of talk around the heavyweight division, which brings up all sorts of names. But ultimately, as we know, Povetkin is one of my toughest challenges to date, so that's where my focus has been throughout the last how many months I've been training for the fight."
Unbeaten Anthony Joshua will be aiming for his 22nd consecutive victory at Wembley Stadium, and AJ sees more victories in the future. He says he thinks he can fight for another decade.
"This is a new chapter. I think I've got 10 years left in boxing, and I want to really cement my legacy."
"You really believe that, 10 years?
"Yeah, because I think now science, information, and people have done it. Foreman, Bernard Hopkins, and my friend now, Klitschko, went on to 40. Mayweather done it, so I believe I can as well."
That's world heavyweight boxing champion Anthony Joshua, who fights Russia's Alexander Povetkin on Saturday at Wembley Stadium in London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African sports news is reporter Samson Omale. And Samson says he'll be kicking off with a look at how top African teams are placed in the latest world football rankings. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny.
We begin with the latest football rankings of teams released on Thursday by world governing body FIFA. Tunisia became the outright top-ranked African football nation after they shared first place with Senegal last month, but a 2-0 African Cup of Nations qualifying win in Eswatini lifted them one place in the world to number 23. Senegal dropped one position to second in Africa and 25th in the world. Among the Africa top 10, four-time Cup of Nations title holders, Ghana, were the biggest loser, slipping three places to seventh after a 1-0 away defeat by Kenya. Kenya, on the other hand, who followed up the Cup of Nations victory over Ghana with a friendly win against Malawi, lie 27th in Africa. Cape Verde dropped out of the top 10 after drawing 1-1 in Loli, Lesotho, and were replaced by record seven-time African champions Egypt, who thrashed Niger 6-0 this month. And now to the CAF Champions League. TP Mazembe will welcome CD Primeiro de Agosto in the 2018 CAF Champions League quarterfinal later today at the Star TP Mazembe in Lubumbashi. The first leg ended in a goalless stalemate. The winner on aggregate will take on either Tunisian champions Esperance de Tunis and Tunisian side Etoile du Sahel in the semifinals. In the other games, Al Ahly will start as favourites to seal a semifinal spot when they host Horoya at the Al Salam Stadium in Cairo on Saturday. In Tunisia, Etoile du Sahel will welcome Tunisian rivals Esperance de Tunis for their second leg quarterfinal clash at the Stade Olympique de Souz. Staying with football news, President of the Nigerian Football Federation, Amaju Pinnick, has been re-elected to serve another four-year term. Amaju Pinnick pulled a total of 34 votes to beat three other contestants to retain his seat.
We just need to do what we need to do. You know, first of the things I want to do is to initiate reforms for our statute, you know, and that's why he's going to put all his expertise to play in ensuring that we start immediately. There are some things we need to capture in the statute that will reflect reconciliation, true reconciliation, and we have to do it right away.
Uganda and South Africa will face off in two closing fixtures of the FISU World University Netball Championships that started at the Makerere University Arena earlier this week. One game will be to complete the Seven Nations round-robin format of the competition and the other a grand final between the first two nations in the tournament, which are South Africa and Uganda. Team captain Irene Ayaru shares her thought on the tournament.
I know South African team is much more speed than us. So like whenever they're going to be playing a speed game, so for us we shall be playing the opposite. Because you cannot play a speed game with a speedy team. So that's the only advice I will give to my players too.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. For reaction to the re-election of Amaju Pinnick as president of the Nigeria Football Federation, reporter Iron Mike Mbonye called Enugu, Nigeria, where he reached Richard Obienu. Richard is a lawyer and a former vice chairman of the then Nigeria Football Association. He told Iron Mike he congratulated Amaju Pinnick.
My text to him this morning, I said, common sense is not common in Nigeria. So I'm happy common sense prevailed eventually. Because Pinnick has taken Nigerian football to higher levels and he deserves a second and third tenure if he wants to. I'm excited he was re-elected.
Do you want to set something like tasks or challenges before the new executive led by Pinnick?
All I'm asking is to prove what they achieved. They achieved so much in 4 years. I want to say go ahead, kudos to you, and go ahead and take us to a higher level. For the first time in Nigerian football, somebody has not come in to make money. Somebody has come in to take our football to a higher level that I've been preaching. If you follow my history, I've been preaching that football can pay itself. Look at the number of endorsements he has gotten for Nigerian football. For the first time, we played in a World Cup without acrimony between players and the NFF. Everything was settled professionally. Everybody knew what was coming to them. And there was order, peace and order. And he moved from NFF president to CAF, from CAF to FIFA. Nobody has ever done it before. He needs our encouragement, and I'm happy it happened the way it did. And I'm happy common sense prevailed.
Talking about endorsement, we understand Pinnick's executive achieved almost 70%. Do you think given the necessary support by other members of the executive, you can achieve that 100% that Nigeria deserves?
He can achieve 120% if we encourage him. He knows football. I was one of the people who built him. I know him personally. And he has a passion for the game. That's the most important thing. And he started from the grassroots like I did. So he knows the rudiments of the game. He understands players well. Look at the case of Victor Moses. I'm sure Victor Moses will come back to the national team because of him, the way he talked to him. So he understands the rudiments of the game. Unlike bringing somebody simply because he comes from the north or simply because he comes from the west, it doesn't make sense in a big country like Nigeria. We should start giving leadership to those who are capable of doing it. I know Pinnick. I can vouch for him that he will take us to 120% level. I'm very happy he won. I'm very, very happy. Let me take that one up. What will Ogijobi have to offer Nigerian football again after Pinnick? What will Magari have to offer Nigerian football after Pinnick? Nothing. I'm happy the delegates saw that and voted for him, voting for progress and success. That's what exactly what they have done.
Pinnick is also the first vice president of the Confederation of African Football at the top office holder in FIFA. Do you think that with his re-election, all this is a big plus for Nigeria and Africa?
That guy, the way he's moving, might be the president of CAF in these 4 years. Go write it down. That guy will be the next Nigerian CAF president, the only Nigerian CAF president. Others before him were going there for the pleasure. Answer this question. Why should football be going to government CAF in hand to go ask for funds? All you need to do is qualify Nigeria every 4 years and you have your over $10 million grant from FIFA. I was the one who made them clear at the National Assembly that for any match you win in FIFA, you make 100 million or 1 million. If you go beyond the first round, you make 1.5 million. Now, we don't need government funds, and they nearly killed me for nothing. And I'm happy he's doing the same thing, bringing funds into our football. And very soon, our football will get to a professional level, being the first in Africa. We'll soon get there under him. So I'm very excited he made it, and very excited he was voted for.
That's Richard Obienu, former vice chairman of the Nigeria Football Association. Richard spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Enugu, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. This Sunny Side of Sports programming note, I'll be enjoying some rest and relaxation the next couple of weeks. Dan Friedel will be hosting the show, and I'll be back behind our Voice of America microphone on Monday, October 8th.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup tips off Saturday in Tenerife, Spain. The United States is bidding for a third consecutive world title and 10th overall. The American women play their opening game Saturday against Senegal, one of two African squads in the 16-team tournament. The Tigress of Nigeria is the other. The Nigerian women play their first game Saturday against Australia. The FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup will go through September 30th when the final is played. And let's give Sunny Side of Sports shout-outs to the teams from Latvia, Belgium, and Puerto Rico, which are making their debuts at the International Women's Basketball Tournament. And let's give another Sunny Side of Sports shout-out to American guard Sue Bird, who is on the USA team for a record fifth time. The 37-year-old Bird is a four-time Olympic champion with Team USA. Sue is going after an unprecedented fourth world title in Spain. And fresh off winning a third Women's National Basketball Association title with the Seattle Storm, Sue Bird will be joined on the USA team by two of her Seattle teammates, Jewel Lloyd and Brianna Stewart, this year's WNBA Most Valuable Player. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, the second edition of the Laver Cup men's tournament is underway in Chicago between Team Europe and Team World. Joining us once again with an update is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Team Europe captain Bjorn Borg made a surprise announcement on Thursday that Roger Federer will pair with Novak Djokovic in doubles tennis action on opening day of the tournament. More on that in a moment. With more news on the Laver Cup, I'll turn now to reporter Craig Gabriel in Chicago.
It's been 27 years since top-level tennis was played in Chicago, a city that has sport ingrained in its psyche. The last men's event in the city saw John McEnroe beat his brother Patrick in the final, and the two are here as captain and vice-captain, leading Team World against Team Europe, which is captained by Bjorn Borg and vice-captained by Tomas Enqvist. The arena being used is known more for basketball, but is sold out, with day one starting off with Francis Tiafoe playing Grigor Dimitrov, then Jack Sock plays Kyle Edmund, followed by Diego Schwartzman against David Goffin. But for many, the highlight will be the doubles, with Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic teaming up for the first time and taking on Jack Sock and Kevin Anderson. Craig Gabriel for VOA Sports, Chicago.
As Craig mentioned, Friday's highlight is no doubt the dream team doubles pairing of Federer and Djokovic. And from the sound of it, it's a highlight for them, too. First, we'll hear from Roger Federer.
I'm excited. I've never played with Novak. I've had so many great battles on the singles court. To finally team up together, I think it's going to be very special for both of us. I think we still have to talk over it a little bit, exactly maybe either who's going to take the lead or how do we play exactly. But we know it's going to be a tough one. Indoor doubles is always very hard to take charge and dominate, to be quite honest. And I think it's all for about intensity for us. And we have a great support team here. We're hoping for really a great opening day, and sure, we are excited to kick things off in the doubles together. It's very cool.
We're going to have the unique experience. We've never played doubles together, so this is what this competition is all about, bringing us all together. And we're going to have Anderson and Sock. Sock, who is one of the best doubles players in the world, across the net, so going to have a great challenge and, hopefully good support from team members, and we can have fun.
That was Novak Djokovic, who was making his debut at this year's Laver Cup tournament. As Djoko mentioned, Jack Sock will play on the other side of the net with teammate Kevin Anderson for Team World. Sock has been touted as one of the best doubles players in the world, and he says he'll rely on his skill to win the match.
Yeah, obviously going to be a legendary team. We got a little bit of it last year. Obviously Novak wasn't there, but got to play Roger and Rafa last year, which was an epic matchup for their side, so probably take a lot of that away. Even though we're the home team, I'm sure they'll have a lot of fans cheering for them while they're playing together, but as a half court specialist, I trust my abilities out there, and teaming up with Kevin, who has a monstrous serve, great returns, and good hands, hopefully we get the W for the team.
Francis Tiafoe, a last-minute replacement on Team World, says he's looking forward to making his second appearance at the Laver Cup.
It's going to be fun. I'm pretty excited for it. Played Grigor again. We played once before. Had a tight one. So I opened it up last year pretty good, so hopefully I can do the same.
His teammate Nick Kyrgios says he enjoys the team aspect of the tournament and recalled his disappointing loss last year to Roger Federer in the final match.
It's actually quite easy for me to go out there and compete and you know, last year was heartbreaking. You know, I didn't really shed tears much, but, you know, as soon as I lost last year, it was the first thing that happened. So, you know, I'm going to do everything I can. And that's, you know, if someone needs me to be out there while they're practicing picking up balls or anything like that, I'll be doing that. So I'll do everything for the team this week.
You heard Craig Gabriel mention the last time the city of Chicago hosted a top-level tennis event was in 1991 when John McEnroe defeated his brother Patrick in the Chicago Open. Now the brothers are captain and vice captain for Team World, and they say the hierarchy on and off the court is a big help in settling disputes.
Sometimes we both have gut feelings. I'll let Patrick finish it up, but the short answer is generally we agree, and you know the nuance of a certain couple calls, you know, slight differences, I would say. But for the most part, we're on the same page.
He's the captain, and I'm the vice captain. So that tells you who gets the final say. You know, just like in our household growing up, he was the older brother. I'm the younger brother.
The McEnroe brothers are looking for a win this year. Team Europe lost to Team World 15-9 in last year's inaugural event in Prague. A word about scoring. Each match win is worth 1 point on Friday, 2 points on Saturday, and 3 points on Sunday. The first team to reach 13 out of 24 points wins. The Laver Cup, named for Australian tennis legend Rod Laver, is the brainchild of Roger Federer, who used his global influence to get major sponsorships. Ahead of the tournament, John McEnroe spoke about the positive effect the event has had on the sport.
To me, the Laver Cup was the most innovative and exciting thing that had happened in 10 years in tennis. Now, maybe if it helps in other ways, that will be a good thing. But the last thing that should be done is sort of, you know, stifle what can be, you know, Rod Laver's our Babe Ruth of tennis. There's no question about it. Roger Federer's the greatest player that ever lived. These two people are behind this. And there's, I think that anyone that saw this or watched it saw how incredible it was last year and how, you know, we're hoping for even better, but it was a great event.
And the camaraderie between the teams adds a very jovial and upbeat vibe to the tournament, which led one reporter to question John Isner about the seriousness level of the event. And, well, I'll let Isner have the last word about that.
Honestly, that question really annoys me. I
second that.
It's 100% serious. I mean, this is not an exhibition at all.
Get ready for some very serious tennis and a whole lot of fun. I'll have results from the Laver Cup on Monday, and that ends the week. Sonny, enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Gwen, and you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. We heard from Francis Tiafo in Gwen's report. Francis said, "It's going to be fun to play at my second Laver Cup." And it reminded me, it was fun to meet Francis last year at our VOA headquarters here in Washington. Francis talked about visiting Sierra Leone when he was a young boy. Sierra Leone is the homeland of his parents. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. This VOA programming note, I'll be taking a break for a couple of weeks. Dan Friedel will be hosting the show, and I'll be back behind our VOA microphone on Monday, October 8th. Dan is a big fan of the sports teams based in Cleveland, Ohio, so I know Dan was excited about the Cleveland Browns and their 21-17 victory over the visiting New York Jets in a National Football League game on Thursday night. The victory snapped a 19-game winless streak by the Browns, a winless streak that spanned 635 days. Rookie quarterback Baker Mayfield, the top pick in the 2018 NFL draft, sparked the Browns to the big win. In his first NFL appearance, Baker Mayfield replaced injured starter Tyrod Taylor, and he led the Cleveland Browns on 4 scoring drives. A rare victory by the Cleveland Browns. Dan Friedel is very happy. And that wraps up the September 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, has the Trump administration downplayed the promotion of democracy overseas? We'll ask the presidents of the International Republican Institute and the National Democratic Institute, who also discuss their work helping democracies around the world conduct free and fair elections, implement the rule of law, and build vibrant civil societies. That's Encounter, Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Lenore Moudou, host of Health Chat. On September 26, the United Nations will hold a high-level meeting on tuberculosis with the goal to end the global TB epidemic by 2030. Join us this Tuesday as we discuss the significance of the upcoming UN meeting and look at the global fight against TB. Our guest is Gavin Churchyard, CEO of the Orom Institute in South Africa. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA News. I'm